for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
I'm going to read Psalm 148 and the first five verses of Psalm 149. Absolutely uplifting words. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds, that was Doris this week, that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn. The praise of all his saints, of Israel, the people close to his heart, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. What a note of praise. Now, I'm going to apologize in advance for maybe the quality of this wee clip we're going to watch. It's only 2 minutes. In among all of that, in Psalm 148, was praising the Lord, small creatures. I want you just to watch this one wee small creature this morning and see if it doesn't cause you to praise the Lord.
The plant's most numerous attackers by far are insects. All around me in this Borneo rainforest, there are millions of tiny mouths munching away invisibly. To give you some idea of the lengths to which an insect will go in order to get a vegetarian meal in safety, look at this. Clearly, it's a badly damaged leaf, but where is the creature that's doing the damage? This is it, a tiny caterpillar. It's soft, it's defenseless. It's clearly an excellent mouthful for many a bird. So, if it is to survive, it has to take steps to protect itself. It starts by making a semicircular cut into the leaf from the margin. But when the cut is only half complete, it starts from the other end. It spins silk across the hinge. That, as it dries, contracts and helps the caterpillar pull over the segment to form a roof. To make its tent a little more commodious, it cuts a pleat, pulls it across, and now it's got a little wigwam. The whole process only takes a few hours and is usually done at night when there are no birds around. Now the caterpillar can feed in safety, shaving off the soft surface layers of the leaf out of the sight of any hungry bird, and at significant cost to the plant.
And that's a satisfied caterpillar. David Attenborough probably looks at that and says, incredible evolutionary forces. I look at that and say, what a God we serve. You would walk past that wee caterpillar, and unless you were out hunting for one of those, you probably wouldn't even see it. God satisfies the desires of every living thing. And that's what this psalm is all about this morning. It says in verse 3, the sun and moon and shining stars praise him. Verse 2, praise him all his angels, praise him all his heavenly hosts. Verse 7, great sea creatures praise him. Verse 9, mountains and hills praise him. 10, wild animals, cattle, small creatures, a lovely wee dormouse there. Some of you are not too keen on those wee dormouse and things like that. Flying birds, a lovely wee robin, praise him. And then it talks about young men, women, maidens, old men, children, praise him. And the psalmist then says, sing to the Lord a new song. This morning, is your heart not lifted already to sing to the Lord a new song? This psalm, 148, 149, it's a wonderful shout of praise from the whole of creation, right from the angelic hosts, the starry hosts, the sun and moon, all creatures, the depths of the oceans. The cry goes out, praise the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Creation praises him because they have been created by him. That's why they're to praise him, because he's the creator. But then the call goes out to people, the peoples of the world, high and low, young and old. Praise the Lord, verse 13, because his name alone is to be exalted. We're not to exalt in people. We're not to exalt in progress. We're not to exalt in all other things. We are to exalt in the name of the Lord. The apostle says in Colossians, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Praise the Lord. But then the crescendo comes at the very last verse of 148 there. He has raised up for his people a horn. The praise of all his saints, of Israel, the people close to his heart, praise the Lord. And so now this song of praise, which has been amazing, but it's raised now to a completely new level. It is good to praise the Lord because he is the creator of all creation. You look around, you see the diversity, you see the sheer scope of God's creation, the beauty of it. I mean, who hasn't seen a sunrise or a sunset, the trees, the flowers, the hills, the creation, and we praise God. But the psalmist leads us further, further than the created order. And he goes on to speak on this much more personal level, right to our hearts. He said, God has raised up for his people a horn. You might wonder, well, what does that mean? What is it that God has raised up a horn for his people? What is the horn that God has raised up? Well, the verse gives us a clue, and it says, the horn is the praise of all his saints. So we know right away that the horn it's talking about here, it's not the literal horn of an animal, but it is a person who will be praised by all the saints. I want us to think this morning a bit more deeply about that person and where the idea of a horn comes from. If you have a wee look there, my years in Scotland have had a deep impact on me. You might say those are not horns, those are antlers. In the Bible, it uses horn for all those antlers and all of that. If you see an animal with amazing horns, you know, I mean, that's a magnificent stag there. You look at that, and by the way that boy was looking there, if he was in a field and you were in a field, you'd be well advised not to approach. He is showing there his strength and his power, showing that he can defend himself and he has mighty power of attack. And because people recognized the word horn, it became a symbol of strength and power. Just show you a couple more here. Gwyneth and David, that is a Dorset ram. I was looking for these animals with horns and I thought, in the church, who could we think of? Sorry, Jack and Margaret, I don't know what your sheep are, but I know that Gwyneth and David's there, the Dorset ones, and that beautiful one there and the rhino. You think of the strength and power of that. But the Lord has raised up a horn of salvation. So throughout the Old Testament, when a people was spoken of in terms of the horn, it meant they have great strength and power. And if it said their horn was broken or cut off, it meant that person was defeated. So the lifting up of the horn in the Old Testament referred to an animal, just like the ones we've seen, lifting up and tossing their horns to show their strength and power. Just in November, when we had a week's walking holiday in Wicklow, and we went to Glendalough, I'm sure many of you have been, and we did this walk up really high in the hills above Glendalough. And honestly, the bellowing of those stags on the hillside, it was a rutting season, and they were lifting up their horns. Some of them have grass and bits of heather and stuff stuck to their horns to make them look bigger. They're lifting them up, and they're bellowing out. They're saying to any contenders, take me on. Take me on because I'm going to be victorious. Take me on because I have strength and power. So we recognize in Scripture when we see horn, it is a symbol of strength and power. And the Bible says, the psalmist says, that God has raised up a horn for his people. The praise of all his saints, of Israel, the people close to his heart. And that's what I want to focus on today. I want to tie it in with a New Testament verse, but first I'm going to read a couple of other verses from the Old Testament. Psalm 18. Count. I want you to count the terms used here. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. 8 terms used in one verse. This is our God, the horn of my salvation. 2 Samuel 22:3. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge and my savior. From violent men, you save me. When you read those words, don't just skim over them. That is who God is. That is who he is. They speak so clearly. It's about the horn of salvation. And they speak so clearly of strength and power. Rock, fortress, deliverer, shield, refuge, stronghold, savior, horn of salvation. People have said to me in the last couple of weeks, oh, you look tired, don't know how you're coping. Do you know how I'm coping? The Lord is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my shield. He's my refuge. He's my stronghold. He's my savior. He's a horn of my salvation. If we don't learn to take it personally in the good times, we'll be struggling in the hard times. This is what it's about, saying, God, you are this to me. Ezekiel 29:21, prophetic. On that day, I will make a horn grow for the house of Israel. Psalm 132:17, again prophetic. Here I will make a horn grow for David and set up a lamp for my anointed one. Along those two verses there and the word we've read from Psalm 148, prophetic statements, God raising up a horn for his people. These words came to be understood as a statement of God sending the Messiah, sending a savior, sending a king, a strong one. The Messiah would be the praise of all his people. He will be the rock and fortress, deliverer, shield, refuge, stronghold and saviour. That is why it says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. I want to take you to the New Testament. Just going to read you a couple of verses, the fulfillment of these. Again, they were a prophetic statement. Luke 1, 68 and 69. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. You know, you don't need me to tell you, Jesus was a Jew. He was born out of the house and lineage of David. He was born in the city of David, Bethlehem. God has come. He has come to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Those verses from Luke 1 are in Zechariah's prayer after the birth of John the Baptist. And he began to speak or praise or pray prophetically. Jesus at that time was in the womb of Mary. He was going to be born in the line of David, and he'd be powerful to rescue and save through redemption. Peter says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, the horn of our salvation. Many, when they saw him, they thought, he's coming in weakness, not power. He's coming and he's a servant, and humility and just obedience. It's weakness. It's not this strong horn of salvation that it was promised. But through his weakness, as the world perceived it, through his weakness, his servanthood, his humility and his obedience, he obtained eternal redemption for us through his blood. And on the third day, we understand the power of the horn. On the third day, he rose from the death. Jesus on that cross took on himself everything that stood against us. All the contenders, if you like, the contenders were arrayed against Jesus. And maybe we look and we see that picture of that stag and it's standing there. Let all the contenders come. And maybe people look at the cross and they think, well, the contender, there he is, you know, or the one, there he is, the contenders have won. But no, Jesus took on the contenders of sin, of death, of hell and the grave. And we see he conquered them. And on that third day when he rose from the dead, we see that mighty victory. The horn of salvation that was raised up has triumphed. He has conquered. He has shown his strength and his power. And that's what we're living in. We are living in the victory of that. I read these verses often, make no excuse for them. I love them. From Philippians 2. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. He alone is exalted, as the psalmist says, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Sometimes we read that in the context of sinners are going to have to bow down and confess that. They are. It's true. But as God's people, is it our joyful confession that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father? Are we taking that and singing, I sing a new song to you this day, O horn of my salvation? No wonder David, or whatever psalmist it was, says, praise the Lord with a new song in the assembly of his saints. It's to be an exuberant song. Well, unless you can do a dirgy kind of a dance. Don't like those kind of dances. But it's a song with musical instruments, singing, dancing. Why? Here's why. This sermon started out with me choosing this psalm to read to the older people in my visits. And it's sort of growing from there. Here's why I love this. The Lord takes delight in his people. Oh, I speak that word over you this morning, church. The Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. We are to rejoice in this honor and sing on our beds. I'm sure you all know. You know that awful feeling you have if you come into a room and you know there's somebody in that room that's not happy with you? Do you know what I'm talking about? Somebody may be judging you or criticizing you. I don't know how that makes you feel. For me, my stomach starts to churn. I look all happy and everything, but inside I'm nervous. My stomach churns. Because if you know that feeling, you're maybe feeling anxious, a bit nervous. You're maybe wary, a bit on your guard. Feeling self-conscious, maybe sort of skulk around the edges, trying not to be noticed. How different is it if you come into a room and you know that the person in that room absolutely loves you? They're taking delight in you. How freely do you come into that room? How freely? You maybe go in. That's what I'll do when I go home from church today, because I'll smell the dinner on and Graham will have the tatties on. I'll go in. I know he loves me. I'll go in and I'll maybe do a wee twirl like that. Probably won't. I will sing in my totally out of tune way. I will dance about the house and just do stuff. I won't feel anxious. I won't feel nervous. I won't be skulking about. Wonder, is he in there? Wonder what he's saying. And if I hear him speaking to the boys, wonder, is he talking about me? I won't have any of that. Why? Because his word says, he delights in you. He has crowned you with salvation. Rejoice in that honor. People of God today, we are coming into, we are in, actually, the presence of the Lord. Don't skulk around the edges of worship. Don't be cautious. Don't be wary. Don't be sort of on guard, feeling anxious or whatever. Understand, he is delighting in you. There is nothing more. When you read what he has called all created beings to do, and not only beings, things, mountains, hills, rivers, trees, the rest of it, he is longing for his own special creation, the church. He is saying to us, sing a new song to me. Praise my name. I have raised up for you the horn of salvation. And he has conquered. We are honored to be our gods. We've been chosen. I want to conclude this morning with part of David's prayer. After David had confessed his sin to God, his sin weighed so heavily upon him, and he confessed it to God. This is a master songwriter. And he knew that the sin in his heart had robbed him of his joy. He knew that, and it robs us all of our joy, and we know it. And here's what he said. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me, Lord, the joy of your, not my, the joy of your salvation. and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. You might be feeling this morning, oh, I feel a bit low, feel a bit down, feel a bit far away. Oh, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Then we feel we have to stir up, we have to do something. David says, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Reminding himself there was a horn lifted up. He was looking forward to that day. We are looking back. A horn has been raised up. He has raised up a horn for us in the house of David, his servant. As we come to the table, John is going to come and lead us. And maybe, Mark, are we singing first? Not sure. Is that an order or a shake? Are we singing that song first? And then as we come to the table, I just encourage you this morning, don't leave big long silences or anything. If you want to praise the Lord, I just ask again, and Graham often asks this, don't pray for anything. Don't pray for Graham. It's great that you pray for him. Don't pray for him this morning in this time. This is a time to thank the Lord. Just short prayers. It doesn't have to be big long. Just short, focused prayers. If you don't ordinarily pray, and you are grateful this morning, you understand the honor of what Christ has done. Just speak it out. Even if it's one line, speak it out. Don't skulk around the edges. Don't be weighed down with anxiety. Don't be, oh, you know, feeling that self-conscious way. You are in the presence of one this morning who is taking delight in you.
And your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.